Support for this podcast comes from the patrons at patreon.com/FMLFPL.
Okay! Welcome to FMLFPL Milan!
It's Walsh.
It is Monday morning out here after another disgustingly low-scoring week. Recording before Chef U and Arscast play. What's up, dude? What's going on?
Well, you know, just the bright, bushy-tailed 7:30 a.m. pod, ready to get into things with, I suppose.
Yeah,
I feel good that I'm back in safe hands with my my shepherd here.
You don't have to read information.
I don't have to. I could just go back into like normal, focusing on all the things instead of focusing on the spreadsheet.
Yeah, I mean, I'm here to facilitate you. Like Jason said, I'm just like the creative mid. I'm just spraying passes and you're just putting them away. It's great.
Yeah.
So what are you on this week? How are you doing this week?
I keep like somehow doing fine in these really bad scoring weeks. I have 27, but I have Rico coming up. So I'm on 35 with
Rico.
Yeah, Rico, just legend. This is, I think, the first week I've ever had him come in, and it was a good week for that to occur. I've been getting really lucky with like him and Lundstram coming off my bench with points like a lot.
You and fucking everyone, dude. It kills me.
Yeah. But I'm on, so I'm on 35 with Lundstram and Saka to go later today. And I mean, even if they just give me like 4 points, I'm still in just like fine shape, I feel like.
So, oh, yeah, you're in great shape.
Yeah. I mean, I'm not like chunk rising or I didn't have a good week, but I didn't have, you know, 19 points, which I've seen a lot of people have with very respectable and reasonable teams. So,
yeah, it's hard to tell always before auto subs and vice caps and shit. But as of now, the average is around 29. But I don't know, according to, you know, those like stats websites and shit, almost everyone is like over 11 out of 12 players have played because they count captain twice. So the fact that you just are on 35 above average with two full guys left is like pretty huge. You might actually have a big week.
Yeah, possibly. I mean, Saka, I expect at least a brace, so that'll definitely call me. What about you?
Well, do it on Slack. So is it finally time to be done with Otamendi, or do we hold for the next two fixtures? So I was just wondering like what your initial like gut read is there. Are you just ripping him straight out?
Yeah. You want to hit that first. I mean, home Villa, home Southampton are coming up, but I feel like it's a really nice week that we have midweek Champions League games. We'll get a lot more info about kind of what's happening.
True.
So, I mean, if he start, I've been fucking around so much with transfers since the games yesterday about just where I'm going to go because I have two frees. And he's definitely not, you know, a secure place on my team, obviously. But, if he starts midweek, I would feel somewhat okay holding him for the next two until their fixtures turn pretty bad. But the same problem remains, right? They let up a couple pretty big chances, and I think we're lucky to escape with a clean sheet this weekend against us. Yep. So I just don't, I mean, I don't think that he's going to be like Rodri and Fernandinho is the new pair. Like, that's ridiculous. So I do think it's okay to hold him if he plays midweek. If he doesn't play midweek, though, I don't think it's worth the risk to possibly be carrying him into, you know, maybe not going to start against one of the two games where you want him before you remove him. So that's kind of where I'm at. I think, you know, we're going to do our Friday pod and we'll have a lot more info then. But right now, my natural inclination is to hold him.
Okay. Yeah, that makes sense.
I guess the other thing, too, is like I have Trent Rabo and I was looking around the defense, like the defenders. There's just not a ton there. I mean,
yeah,
there are some,
really,
like Leicester have a couple away fixtures coming up. Like they're not that good looking for cleans in the near term. And, you know, Chelsea look okay, but it's still, I mean, downgrading for to free up under a million. Like how much does that get me elsewhere? Not much, especially when I'm looking at Pookie and I'm looking at the players in and around his price. I mean, that doesn't get me anywhere upgrading Pookie to someone, you know? So I think it's obvious. I mean, we obviously always talk about team specific shit, but I think, you know, it's one of those where you need to really look at what does it afford you, and what's your plan like with the money, or does it make that much sense for me to get like Chilwell or like Tomori and
Pereira,
like, you know, that kind of thing?
Yeah,
but Pereira too is like, he had zero shot attempts this weekend. Like, he created a few chances, but he's expensive. Like, he's really expensive.
You don't like to see Chris Wood put up like 2xG in a team that you're backing for clean sheets.
Yeah, yeah. So, I mean, that's where I'm at with Ottoman. I am also interested in Mendy a little bit.
And Kinsella.
I still feel like I need more information with Kinsella and Walker. Like, I know Kinsella started a couple and, like, he just didn't have Walker in the squad. I don't know if that's, like, England or whatever, but, like, I feel like... Yeah, I mean, yeah, I guess maybe Kinsella could be a thing.
It's definitely worth thinking about. I mean, he comes in, he just gets max bones, no problem. Like, he's just creating chances, bossing the right side.
Yeah, and he's a lot cheaper than Mendy. I mean, 0.6 at that defender slot's cheap. A lot, especially on Mendy, you know, you're looking at that fitness concern always.
Yep.
Yeah. But it's just like, it's just Walker is a big concern, I think, over Kinsella to me. And I guess I get that Kinsella could play left, but he still has Zinchenko and Mendy there, so I don't know. That feels a little bit more tenuous to me.
It's definitely risky.
How'd you do?
So I'm on 26, big fat red arrow up my fucking ass again, down 120K, 490K overall, so I'm doing quite poorly. But I do have Lundstrom coming in for Mo, and I do have Obbs. Obbs could really bail me out.
If he gets a double return.
Yeah, he's still not that highly owned, like a 30-ish percent or something like that. So, and he's not highly capped at all. So, yeah, if he does anything, that would just be like gigantic, and he'd really bail me out. So we'll see there. I mean, Gunn continues to be a nightmare. They almost kept it clean. Like, Wolves' only chance, other than the ones VAR ruled out, was a pen, which sucks.
Gunn outscored Pope this week. You're flying.
Yeah, flying. So I need to deal with Gunn. I don't know what the fuck. He has Leicester and Man City next. So it's just,
yeah, you need to get a goalkeeper.
I need a goalkeeper. I don't know, dude. Captain shit. We were texting a bit on Saturday about captains, and it's just like, it's just a repeat of last season for me. It's like every week where I pick a differential captain, like swerve the trend of Tammy, or, you know, in previous weeks, like skip Raz or whatever. And the guy that I skip actually blanks. I don't hit my caps. I keep ending up in these opportunities where it's like, if my captain hauls, like, Kevin should have hauled, obviously, this week, for everyone who, you know, everyone knows that who watched the match or whatever. But if he did on this low-scoring week and he's captained by a low percentage of people like me and a bunch of, like, slack maniacs who are up at, like, 4 a.m. after the Friday My Life pod or the ones who captained, then I would have flown. But, you know, story of my fucking life. Should have been a double return, blanks. My only returns are Tomori clean and Raz assist and a Lotan zero pointer. I think everyone's on very few points, though, so I don't know. We'll see.
Yeah. Only the Vardy cappers are smiling today.
Yeah, nothing good here, really. Robbo owners, I guess that's a big one, too.
I have Robbo, obviously.
Let's
go, Robbo.
I'm not going to do housekeeping this week, so we'll do it next week with the mug winner, because when there's a match still left, it just seems pointless to do housekeeping, so we'll do that next pod. Moving on. Anywhere particular you want to start, or should we just jump into the questions? Or
I want to start with Mo. I think that's the number one topic this week for me. Obviously, Kloppo pulled his Edward Howe impression this week and said absolutely nothing about him being nowhere near fitness, even though there were like Twitter official LFC tweets about him smiling with the physio, etc. I mean, he has 7 returns on the season and 8 starts, which is fine, but he's an absolute fortune. And we are still looking at, you know, home Spurs, home City, two of the next three before their run gets a little bit better. And, you know, when he's not really a near-term captain option, I mean, what do you see with Mo? Do you still feel like it's just a steady hold, kind of how we've been preaching this with, like, Raz?
Well, or do you think that it might be time? It's all fitness dependent, right? To first and foremost, fitness dependent. I mean, like, so, like you mentioned, and I think it is a really good week to have Champions League because we need so much info. But yeah, I mean, we'll see if he starts versus Genk or if he, you know, at least subs on versus Genk. I think he'll be a safe start home Spurs. And I think that is a really good fixture. I mean, home Spurs is a really good fixture.
Maybe not captainable, but it's, you know, they could score a couple.
Yeah, I mean, his record's absurd versus Spurs, and they should do Spurs, etc. But yeah, regarding fitness, I thought Klopp's quote was funny. He just said, like, he couldn't train with the team. I don't know where it came from that everyone said he'll play. There was no chance for him today, maybe Wednesday. It's just like, he didn't say anything, but yeah, he didn't train from the team. That maybe, I guess, should have been more of an indicator. But yeah, I mean, I still feel like he's probably just a steady hold. And if I didn't have him, then I would still want Mane, who's like nearing the same price anyway. I still think, you know, one bad match for Liverpool doesn't mean they're like a bad team. And as you said, the only bad fixture coming up, I think, is home City. I really think home Spurs is fine. And so the run is still really good, right? You know, like as of starting now. So I have no concern really there, especially, you know, at home, they score so many more goals. So
yeah, I don't know. I guess I'm starting to come more around to the idea of redistributing those funds.
I just don't know, like, where. You know, like, I have Raz and Kev already, you know, and I have Obs. So, like,
yeah, I mean, Obs is one way place to go, but I do think, like, Vardy, Matto, like, is good, especially when you're looking at turning Mo and someone like maybe Cantwell, people that have Cantwell, into like two like viable assets when no one is going to be really captaining Mo for a little bit, like, could be okay. And then reassessing, you know, Mo's fitness, like, what you want to get him back in a couple after the City game, maybe you could still do that if you have, you know, Raz or Obs to get back to Mo when Liverpool have a nicer run, and maybe he'll be more a captainable person. But
I don't know. I
think, other thing that
No, go ahead.
The other thing that I'm thinking about here, I mean, Raz's stats were good this weekend. You know, he created some chances, had some shots, like touches in the box, like good stats. And, you know, we still talk about Raz kind of in that like Hazard mold of, you know, you just hold him, you don't know when he's going to spike it, but he's just still a really good, like, world-class player. But I am at the point where I've seen enough this season to feel like Kevin is just a better captaincy option than Raz, period, for City. Mm-hmm. So that makes me feel a little bit better about having Mo over Raz, maybe, which makes the redistribution of funds, if you have Mo and Raz right now, somewhat, you know, palatable to me. When you look at the fixtures, like the next three, for example.
Yeah, I understand what you're saying, but also if we're basing anything off of this past week that just happened, I mean, Kev was kind of off it. I understand he's coming off of injury, so that probably plays a factor. But Raz, if you watch this game, then you say Raz is the obvious best captain. He easily could have had a hat trick and had ridiculously huge numbers. I think over 1.5 XG, over 1 XA. He was insane. He just missed all his chances.
But you also had Kevin hitting the bar and having a tap in that Jesus just doesn't pass to him. So that's also a brace, you know, possibly if the coin flips the other way. So I just think it's like, I'm not going off this past week. I'm going off the season and what I've been seeing.
Yeah, totally.
And I think that Kevin's a better captaincy pick.
But I think one of my favorite things that Jason said for, you know, when he subbed in was just when you guys were talking about the Raz versus Kun debate, it's just like, pointing out how quickly these things could change and how, like, sometimes with these premium guys, just, like, super short-term might be the way. You know, like, Raz home Villa, he could easily hat-trick. He can hat-trick in any game. And then what are we talking about? We're saying, like, well, Raz cap over Kevin, like, all day. Raz over Kun all day. Or Kun could hat-trick. Or Mo could come back and just do Spurs. And then everyone's clamoring to get him in and captain him. And it's just, like, I kind of just feel the same way that I did pre-international break, which is just like, I want all of them because they're three incredible players on the two best teams, you know? And it's
All right. I guess the other thing with City that's going to be tricky is, I mean, with their midweek, and we know, you know, last time they had their Champions group, like that third game in the week, you know, the third one, which is going to be our next game week, was tough, right? Like that was, I think, when Raz got rested. He's rested Kevin in that spot before, you know, so that's something also to think about, which throws another, you know, flying
that's
ointment,
just a fucking
as they
nightmare.
Say.
Just thinking about that ahead of time is just like, oh,
all
God.
Right. Yeah, okay. I mean, I just wanted to cover Mo and, you know, and the thing, too, is like what we saw, too, with Liverpool is when Mo's out, I mean, they are so blunted. Like they have Mane as an outlet and then just no creation of midfield. And I get it that they were at Old Trafford, but the performance was poor. And I think
that
they just, you know, Bob couldn't find the game. They just, they were only playing on like one side, right? Wherever Mane was. Yeah. And they just, so it's a little bit of a mess there. So, I mean, we do obviously need Mo fitness news, but I don't know, just a talking point. And I think like a lot, you know, we've been really steadfast in the hold Mo camp. He's great, like blah blah blah. And I'm coming off that a little bit. I don't have problems.
But is that based
people
off
removing
of him,
him
being unfit for 1 week?
No, I think it's also I think it's also based on just like you guys have scored 4 goals in the last 3 games, and I like, you know, the fullback overlap, but like the creation, the chance creation just hasn't looked good to me. Mm-hmm. And I mean, home Spurs is Spurs defense. I mean, Spurs, LOL Spurs, but you know, they're still not, I mean, it's not like home Brighton or some shit or whatever. Yeah. And they have City in 3 games. So, I mean, and at Villa is nice, but you know, Villa are going to park shit house like Newcastle do. So I just don't know how many goals they're going to score in the next 3. And I again am looking at, you know, with captaincy as kind of like the guiding light. If I'm not captaining Mo and I'm looking at, you know, I don't have Cantwell, but I mean, a lot of people have Cantwell, like Pookie's a problem. There are a lot of problems elsewhere. And turning Mo into 2 like good players, like, you know, Vardy and X or whatever, something like that, is a big game. I think that's a really big game when you're not captaining Mo. And I think that that's reasonable.
Yeah. I just think going without Mo or Mane is just silly. With the run coming up, I just think it's absurd.
Yeah, it's possible. But again, you mean the run coming up's in 4 game weeks, so you have time to, you know, fuck around. But yeah, all right. Well, let's go on. That's enough of this.
Cho was really good this week. Comes away with another return, another Max Bones. He's just good. Is it overexposure to go with triple attack? I mean, Og wrote on Slack, I think this was last week, but still. Hudson-Odoi, do we have to wait for him to destroy a team before we can convince ourselves to get him in our teams?
Well, he just did. He destroyed it.
Yeah, and Balfsky, as I said, rest of the season, Mason Mount or Callum Hudson-Odoi. It seems like Frank wants to play Cho and Willian in front 3.
Yeah, I still like Mount a lot more than Cho. I think that he's definitely more like the main man, and he is going to be on the receiving end of like Cho's creation from the wing.
Right.
And we also need to remember Callum Hudson-Odoi has a grand total of 0 goals in the league in his life. So, I mean, this isn't like some like, oh, he's back from injury, this prolific player who's going to just be scoring for fun.
Right.
That's just not who he is. It's still a punt. He's 6, which is nice. You know, he's a lot cheaper than Mount, but I mean, in a vacuum, I'd take Mount all day over him. However, you know, Cho just is a box of tricks. Like he is able to have these take-ons. He, you know, he just looks good in the box. He has good vision and he had a good shot. He almost scored a goal. And yeah, I mean, I don't think that the triple attack is overexposure. I think, you know, that kind of plays into like some psychological fallacy that we have that, you know, like if we have Tammy and Mount, that's going to impact how many points Hudson-Odoi scores. Like that's not true. You know, obviously you could say, well, if they score 0 and then 1 goals in 2 game weeks and you have 3 attackers, then you're not going to be doing well. Like, yeah, obviously, dude. But at the same time, you're not looking at like City, Liverpool, like Manchester United in the next 3. Like they're playing Burnley, Watford, Palace next 3.
They're so cheap. They're still all cheap.
Yeah, they're so cheap. Yeah, they're so cheap. So it's like, how much risk is there? Like, it's not that much of an exposure to risk. And if you're watching the games and seeing kind of how attacking they play, I think that having all 3 is totally fine. Like, I would rather have Cho than, like, probably, like, Tomori at this point, looking at the fixtures and stuff and how he looks.
Yeah, Tomori had some mistakes, but I'll take the clean points. But, yeah, I mean, Cho just looks great, and I think it's a big factor that, like, his style of play is so good for Bonus. Like, it's, you know, sort of similar to, like, a Hazard or, like, a Wilf
take
when he's
ons,
in form. Just dribble, successful dribbles and chances created and big chances created. And, like, he's not a forward, so he's not, like, running offside or missing big chances and shit. And he's just, like, he could be that kind of guy who, like, when he returns, when he starts and returns, like, he could be getting lots of Bonus, which I like.
He was tied
for first this week for baseline Bonus with of mids.
That's pretty good. And it's also, I mean, he's 6 million, so you're looking at the other players in that bracket and that 6 million. Like, we have Mape, who we obviously both love, but he plays for Brighton. Brighton look good this season, like, fair, but, I mean, they're no Chelsea.
Yeah, they look like, and you're, okay. You know,
there's just not a lot. I mean, like, maybe Trossard as well, and that gives somebody premature, but, and then, like, you know, the defenders, like, you know, Pereira or whomever, like this, like, he's just good value at six.
Yeah.
And, you know, you're concerned a little bit because he is 18 and they're in Champions League and, you know, we have a group coming up and things like that, but it seems like he's very firmly ahead of Pulisic on the pecking order for Frank.
Yeah.
And,
definitely.
You know, they still have Willian, who's like, I mean, obviously Garbo, old fucking Jamie Foxx lookalike, but you have to like what you see from Cho so far, and points should come. And at six, he's the kind of player that could also, you know, price rise a lot.
Yeah,
he should keep trickling. He looks good. I like him.
Yeah, and I we hammer it home, like, we've talked about it literally every week this season, I think. But, like, Chelsea look fucking good. Like, they look like the clear third best team in the league, and they're scoring tons of goals and putting up huge, like, you know, goal scoring numbers. And, like, you know, again, Tammy missing his big chances this week. That's becoming an annoying trend and shit, but, you know, they should have probably scored another three against Newcastle. Like, they're really doing it. So, yeah, you want to get in there for sure.
Yeah.
What about Pukki and Norwich? Is Pukki just the most easy transfer out of your life?
So, I mean, I've been spending a lot of time looking at Pukki's spot on my team.
Yeah.
I mean, he had the one, like, somewhat okay chance.
It was a good shot. And a really good
save, shot.
It wasn't a good chance.
Like,
yeah, it wasn't a good chance. Both of his shots were outside of the box.
Yeah, I mean, they backed off him a little bit. He saw that little space, and he just kind of fired and tried to like bottom corner it or whatever.
Yeah.
But his stats are just like way down from the first few game weeks when he was scoring a lot. Like, he's only like attempting like one like shot a game in the box or something, like on target, or one shot on target per game. And when he was before, like, almost at three. So that's not something you like to see. But my problem with Pukki and in my team specifically, and I don't know if this is going to translate to the listener, but I don't see like much better or significant upgrades in his price bracket at his spot at all. Like, I already have Tammy, and I mean, the next forward I want is like Vardy or like Aubs, and, you know, Callum's a lot more. And I also don't really know how much better Callum is, like, looking at their fixtures and like for a million more. I just don't know if that's like going to, like, do I want to waste transfers up quote unquote upgrading Pukki to Callum to have like similar fixtures? Like, I don't think so. So I'm really at a little bit of a loss there. And I have tinkered around with something like a 4-5-1 and going down to like Connolly or something with him. And, you know, I do like Neil. Like, Neil is a player I'm looking at, but you know, they have the same issue where after the next two, they're at United, home Leicester, at Liverpool, at Arsenal. Like, that's not good.
Even home and Wolves after that. Yeah.
Like, I don't want to spend transfers on this like budget striker spot. Like, this is the issue we get into time and time again, right? Our budget striker spot, we're like spinning wheels on punt to punt to punt, and they're all bad. And like, even though the fixture's like a little bit better, they play for a bad team and they don't score when we want them to score, and they're just bad. Like, you know, you got to just get a little bit lucky there. So I'm not sure like where to go there. And that is also why I've been looking at Mo a little bit more, you know, like
for like a more drastic change.
Yeah, like, I could get like Aubs and Maddo instead of Salah and Pukki, or like, I could, you know, something like that.
Right,
and I'm
right,
like,
right.
Okay, those two players together, when I'm not going to captain any of the four for the next few, like, feels good. Or, you know, even just, like, I could do a triple swap, like, get Vardy, Matto, like, and Mape or something, like, and get right. Nikita up. You're like, there's a lot to play with. So long or the short of it is I just don't see, like, a like-for-like. And, like, people are talking about Jimenez. I'm like, dude, they're back in Europe on Thursday. Like, it's
fucking
dumb. Yeah,
that's what I replied to everyone. It's
just,
yeah,
it's just so insane.
It's like, yeah, and he looked good, and he could have had, like, a Hattie, but, like, they're still in Europa. They're still in the group stage. Like, they're,
I mean, at Newcastle, at Arsenal, like, they're going to be, like, not doing shit the next two games. I just don't get that at all. But I just feel like there's nothing in and around Pukki's price bracket that's an upgrade, even though they play United and then, you know, they have like a couple of away, like they have a couple of aways and then home Watford afterwards, but against better fixtures. So, I mean, I might hold him. I honestly might hold him.
I'm kind of level with you. I mean, like, some of his stats are down and some are like basically the same. Like his XG in open play is literally the same as the first five game weeks as it has been for like game weeks, you know, whatever, 6 through 10 or whatever it is. Like, you know, he's touching the ball a lot in the box. He's still shooting a lot, even though it's a little bit down. You know, he's creating double the amount of chances in these recent game weeks. It's just like when you see this happen with, you know, players all across the spectrum. We were just talking about Mo and Raz, like the exact same shit just happened. And it's like, it's just tougher when they're on a bad team and they're, you know, 30-year-old Finnish guys that we kind of knew nothing about coming into the season to trust them. But like, he's still doing the stuff that would lead to returns. And Norwich are still, you know, aside from the Bournemouth match, they're still usually like an open attacking side. And yeah, I kind of am with you there. Like I like Neil more, and if they had a good run of fixtures, I would absolutely be making that move. But like, yeah, I think you nailed it. It's just like, I want Neil for home Everton, home Norwich. And then like, I'm going to want to transfer him out immediately starting game week 12. So it's like not that worth it.
The one thing though with Neil in that is that you could make a very clean and easy swap to Ings.
Yeah, Ings is, you know, someone to maybe think about too. You're saying Neil for the next two and then Ings has a little bit of a run.
Yeah, like Ings next two is home Leicester at City and then their run goes like home Everton at Arsenal, home Watford, home Norwich at Newcastle, home West Ham at Villa, taking you to Crimbo.
I mean, and it's that's a good fucking run, but joke to imagine that he's fit for that long, but I see your point.
We're here to make jokes, but the other side is also that whenever we get dings in our team, it's just an unmitigated disaster pretty much always.
Every single year. Yeah.
But just hypothetically, like if you're making like, let me plan my team on my spreadsheet, like that's a thing you could look at and feel good about.
Yeah.
When you look at things with like, you know, you have a 12-inch dick tinted glasses or whatever.
The thing that I always think about with these kind of like planned spreadsheet situations is like, it might be better to just go Ings. He's probably going to blank home Leicester away City, like high percent chance. But like, guess what? Neil plays for Brighton. He's probably going to blank also, even though they're good fixtures.
Yeah, maybe.
Saving a transfer is like often worth it. Yeah. And I think we try and be too cute sometimes, but just talking. I mean, like, either way, I don't feel fantastic about any of these situations. So I also think that like 3-5-2 should be in play. I mean, like, I don't know if like three forwards is actually good, and I don't know if there's three that I really trust without going like Vardy, like you said, or which is hard to get to, honestly. I mean, like,
yeah, it would have to be like Vardy, Tammy, and Obbs would probably be like the most like consistent, like good front line,
right? And that's a lot of money. Like, if you think about structure, I have four premiums and Tammy.
Yeah,
for me to get from Pukki to Vardy is insane, and that just like goes back to the Salah conversation or Raz conversation or whatever. You can't have four premiums in that front line. You just absolutely can't. So
one other thing, like coming up, just talking about this is, you know, hits this season. I obviously haven't done a lot of prep about what this is, but with these weeks that are, I mean, you're lucky to crack 40 points, hits just feel diabolical. And I feel like that's a big like differential for you. I mean, I haven't taken a hit yet. Have you taken a hit yet?
I took a hit in game week 4, and that's it. Yeah, one triple move.
I mean, when you're looking at taking hits, and even at this stage, I feel like normally by now, like game week, going into game week 10, there's somewhat of a larger gap between, like, you know, the points from top 10K, top 100K, top 500K. Like, everyone's still really bunched up because the scores are so low every game week.
Yeah.
And I think, you know, you got to remember, like, 4 points is a clean sheet, it's a goal, it's a fucking assist and bonus points. Like, 4 points is a lot of points. So, like, this is the same thing. You look at someone like Pookie, and maybe you have one transfer, and you're like, oh, like, I really want to get, like, this guy. Like, I really want to get, like, Vardy this week. And, you know, you take a -4. It's like, just remember what's at stake. Just, like, another PSA, a little reminder. You know, you still are getting rid of someone who's healthy. Hits are bad. And just, you know, not hitting is good. And you know, everything's fine.
Yeah, and that's kind of why I was shouting, like, maybe you just get Ings, because using another free on another bad player / bad team punt is just like, that's, we're using too many transfers on the same player. I don't know.
Yeah. No, I agree.
But on your point with the gap between like the tiers of ranks and stuff, it's like someone, SK wrote it on Slack, and I didn't have the answer to this, so I didn't write it down, but I just pulled it up. He said almost 25% of the season done, just 28 points between 10K and 100K, 26 points between 100K and 500K.
Yeah, so there you go. SK.
SK
He's
knows.
Just our fucking stat. He's he our said, stat man.
He said ranks seem much more bunched together this year due to the low scoring season so far, blah, blah, blah. And I don't have like the past data. I don't even know where the fuck to get that. But like, yeah, that is correct.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, that puts it in perspective.
Yep. Absolutely. Let's do some questions. Mr. Tools, Toolsy baby, is this the prime time to sit tight? With everyone clamoring to rip their teams up, should the wise old FPL veterans, in parentheses, all of us, hold with what we know to be the proven assets?
I mean, we've been doing that all season. And, I mean, I'm a little bit higher ranked than you, but like...
A little bit.
I've been getting... Well, I mean, we're talking about like 15 points, honestly.
Is that really actually, all it is?
Yeah, like 15, 20 points. I'm on...
Jesus, 19 yeah, points. 19 I have 19 points, more points. And you're almost like 500K places higher.
Yeah.
Than
me. See, like that's what we were talking about.
That's
so
crazy.
Like we've been holding these premium assets, and like I've been getting lucky with like these. Like last week, my little differential was getting like 5 points from Lundstrom in addition to my team. Like, and I've got like a few points above average. Like this week, I'm going to get Rico up, and like you know, I saw like I'm getting these little fringe guys,
you're
but I've been
by.
Holding. Been holding these like premium guys. Like imagine if I was taking hits to like move my premium guys around and they're all blanking, I'd be like a million.
Yeah, you'd be so, an yeah, actual I mean, million. I, like if you yeah. were swapping to like Kuhn and then swap to Obbs and then like
it would be ridiculous. So yeah, I mean I think that is always like the best way forward is to hold your premium players when they're fit. Because no matter if Raz is playing 45 of 90 minutes on the fucking sideline, he's still like Raz and he still has like good XGXA. Like he's still like good. Yeah. You know, so you're not going to like spike these things and spend transfers there. Like if you keep a good spine and fuck around on the fringes, like, yeah, I mean, we always talk about that. And yeah, I think that's a good place to be. What do you think?
No, I totally agree. Tools, you nailed it. James on Slack, why is it that the more time I spend on planning my moves, the worse I am at FPL? I need a pep talk.
Oh, God. I mean, I don't even know where to go.
I always feel this way. I think it's probably some bias that I don't know the answer to.
Well, I think one thing is that we remember the failures and we forget the successes because
yes,
we expect...
Definitely.
We expect the transfers we make to like succeed,
right,
and when they do, you're like,
you
"Oh yeah,
bring
of
in
course."
Guy that like everyone's bringing in or everyone's talking about. So when it comes through, it's just like duh, Aub scored, like, yeah. good, you know, whatever. Yeah.
It's like, oh, Tammy, like, obviously better than fucking Josh King. Like, that was yeah. obvious. And right, then you forget right. about it immediately. But yeah, when it goes the other way, you're like, oh my God, I'm so dumb. Like, why did I get rid of this guy? It's like a 15-point swing, you know? Yeah, and that yeah. lingers for like a month.
It does, it does. No, I feel that from James. I mean, we've talked well, about James, that a lot, yeah. like on how like, playing how different playing the game is now than before we started potting and stuff. Like it, I used to just like fucking make moves. Like we would just text and I would just be like, yeah, I'm gonna bring this guy and like feel good oh, about yeah. him. Like whatever. Yeah. And I like finished like 25K and now I'm like 500K thinking about everything. Can't get a rank.
Oh God.
I don't know. It's fucking, it's been a rough year. That's for sure. I mean like city rotation and dropping points unexpectedly and shit like that and injuries and Liverpool assets have been like inconsistent and injuries also and I don't know man yeah it's been kind of tough
yeah one thing that back to back
like two of the lowest scoring weeks I can fucking remember.
Trent Robbo absolutely saving my bacon this season, dude.
Yeah, like they I don't have like, either. That's great for me.
I know, but just like starting with both for me and just like sticking to my guns there through my wild card when they had like no cleans.
That's it. I mean, that's why yeah. you're 500K.
Yeah, it's exactly this is what we're talking about. It's just yep. like, you know, they're good. Like they're going to be good. Like just hold steady.
Yep. Robbo, sneaky max bones. Just like easy.
Yeah, yeah. Classic Robbo.
FPL nobody on Slack. Who is this guy? I've never even seen him. I guess he's nobody. After yeah, consuming so much FPL content through various mediums, how do you stay away from making the template such popular move? Well, nothing wrong with making the template such popular move. I want to say it first of all.
I think we've been more inclined this season than seasons past to be doing that.
Yeah, I mean, like, it's the cliche is like it's template for a reason, but yeah, I mean, it's cliche for a reason also. Yeah. It's like, yeah. it's not that we're always trying to swerve the template like we're some like hipster fucks who just like can't get our dick hard without swerving the template. It's not the case at all. It's more the case of just like sometimes there are these players or trends or glaring things that we staunchly disagree with that everyone is jizzing over in the template, and that's when we talk shit, and that's when we're like, no, this is fucking stupid. I don't want, yeah. know why everyone's
like,
doing it.
Like, but like Barnes, for example. Like right. Barnes was a really good example of I was going on a fucking mountaintop saying that was the worst thing of life, and he hasn't scored a goal since that happened.
Has when everyone scored was bringing any him goals? In.
Oh, what's bad?
Oh, my God.
But it's also, like, we also, we've talked about this before, but we enjoy, like, mining the unmined and finding yeah. these little guys who, like, Ashley Maitland-Niles, game week one kind of things. And
Soy, you know, too,
Soy, exactly. Yeah, we had both had Soy on game week one, and like, yeah, we were on that. So, you know, it is fun for us, too, to just, like, see what the culture is and then develop, like create the counterculture, bro. Like 70s, bro. Jack Kerouac, bro.
Oh my God. California's changed, dude.
Oh, come on. Hey, what's up? But the other thing is like this week, right? Like I spent maybe like 40 minutes yesterday looking at Wilf because I'm thinking like maybe it's Wilf time because the fixtures are tough and he's starting to look better performance-wise. Stats are kind of shit still, and we're bad, but he's dropped a few in price. And like, I'm thinking of that as another kind of like a low-risk differential, like Callum Hudson-Odoi. I'm just like, okay, like is Wilf gonna just like he's going to play like Arsenal and Spurs soon, who he wants to transfer to, and he's been looking really good. And I'm like, that's where I'm just like, oh, like it's not gonna fucking destroy me if I remove like, you know, my mid price like guy who sucks, like Pookie, and like get a guy like, yeah. well, I'm like, I don't know.
Basically we're both just psycho and like to look at all this shit and like to tinker with all this shit, and that's how we get there.
Yeah, it's fun.
Fun. Rob on Slack, seems like the template's starting to fade out a bit, which is good for the game. Who are you gonna stick with no matter what? Season keepers.
Kevin, Trent, and Rabo probably for me are the guys that I'm just not even going to be remotely considering shipping. Otherwise, I think it's just fucking feeding frenzy.
Yeah, I mean, for me, it's probably like Kevin, Tammy are the first two guys in my team that I look at. I mean, Raz too, probably, to be fair. Like, I don't really see a world of me like getting rid of him anytime soon. But definitely,
I could see getting rid of Raz for sure.
Yeah, I don't see that for me, but Tammy too. I mean, like, and part of this is it's not a coincidence, is that they're both underpriced, and that's like a huge part of it.
Raz, I don't think Raz is underpriced at all.
No, I'm talking Kev and Tammy.
Oh yeah,
like
yeah,
my fair, two guys, fair. Like because you yeah, know, yeah, like Kev should be like fucking like 10-5. Should have started at 10-5, and yeah. Tammy, if they knew he was going to be just like nailed on playing all the minutes for Chelsea, would have been like at least. 8-5 or 8-5 or something. Probably, yeah. So, yeah. You know, and that's part of it. But
yeah.
Fat Gorilla, how long do we continue ignoring David Silva, Big Dick David?
Well, I mean, if you're a producer, Nathan, you're just not ignoring him. You've had him. You've had him for a while. But
he's flying.
I just still feel like, I mean, he has 4 double-digit hauls, and the rest of the games have all been, like, one-pointers.
Yeah.
Because he just doesn't play that much. Like, he's played 2 games of 90 minutes, and he's had 1, 2, 3 games under 60 minutes so far. Like, I don't want that. I get that he's just, like, a piece of the cog of Man City, and he's, like, in the engine room, and he, like, you know, makes those late runs, etc. But he was, I think, lucky to finish his goal this weekend. That's something he usually fucks up. Like, he megged the keeper. Like, he normally just, like,
yeah, his,
I don't know. Like that, stats, I think that was lucky.
Stats people always, like, say this, and it feels weird to say anything bad about him because he's just the most lovely dude ever and love watching him play, and it's sad that he's retiring, but he's, like, historically a very bad finisher. It's, like, his only weakness. Like, he misses big chances for fun, and we both know this from experience from owning him in the last 2 seasons. Like, how many times he just gets, like, a sitter in the box that he just fucks up? It's just, like, constant. Yeah. Like, his XG is always really high because he always gets these sitters, and then he fucks them up. And, like, and to your point with the finish this week on the volley, like, it was obviously taken very well, but I had this thought where I was like, how much of finishing is just luck? Because, like, a lot of the time, what,
it depends on the chance.
No, it depends, like, it really, and it depends, you know, it's different, like, shot by shot, but, like, when you look at that in the slow-mo gorgeous replay that they showed on Match of the Day, like, he doesn't look at the keeper or the one half second. But he doesn't look at him. He's just trying to, like, make contact.
Yeah, and there's, like, a difference from, like, finishing when you're in clean on the keeper versus when you're just, like, getting a volley plucked from the sky and you just are trying to really put it on target.
Yeah, and when people are doing their, like, best finishers and their XG differentials and shit, I feel like the context is really important because it's like, taking, like, you know, a volley with your, you know, half your body turned away from the keeper, like, all you're trying to do is hit the ball well and on target and then hope something happens. It's just interesting. Yeah. But yeah, I mean David, I'm not going to be mad at anyone that has David.
I'm mad. I would be mad if you're transferring him in. I think it's just a really bad pick.
You don't transfer him in, but
well, that was the question, wasn't it?
Yeah, how long do we ignore him? Yeah, I guess we just keep
ignoring him. Because, I mean, you're still looking at, like, Cho or Matto. Like, they have a couple good fixtures, then they have some bad fixtures. They have Champions League. Like, he doesn't start. He's fucking old as fuck, you know? So I don't like it.
Yeah. So Ray on Slack said, Teals under the radar pick. Tielemann.
Yeah, someone mentioned that last night also on Slack. I was comparing the stats with him and Matto. I mean, the price is, like, a little bit different. It's like 0.6, 0.8 or something. Mm-hmm. And they weren't, like, you know, that far apart as I would have expected. I would have thought Matto would be, like, slaughtering him. But the main difference is, like, Matto's getting big chances. Matto's got 4 big chances this season. He's finished, obviously, 0 of them because he's a little wee casino bitch boy. But I just like his involvement a lot more, you know. Tielemans is still, like, that late runner, and, you know, a lot of his shots are outside of the box, and his XG isn't, like, that far off from Matto, but I don't know. I still just don't feel comfortable with Tielemans when you have a player on the same team, you know, who just feels a lot better in a similar price bracket, if that makes sense. I just don't know how you fit him in, I guess, is my issue. But what do you see there?
Yeah, I haven't really looked at the stats until right now. I mean, in theory, like in preseason, I even remember saying that, like, no, Tielemans is like the third or fourth best attacker that you would want on the team, like LOL Perez. But like, I don't know, man. I voiced my not that high on Matto opinion on Friday My Life episode. Not much has changed in that regard.
He still had four attempts this weekend, though. Like, that's what I like from him, you know?
Yeah, yeah. He does shoot a lot. And he shoots a lot more than Tielemans, for sure. Tielemans now, like, last season it was like, okay, you can't keep this up. And now it's been like, you know, I think they said on Match of the Day, 20 games, 6 goals, 7 assists or something. Like, he's kind of just class and good and, like, maybe he's the under-the-radar guy who's going to, like, outperform his stats while Matto is, like, consistently underperforming his stats. Like, I really don't hate it at all. And for the price... Okay. I mean, it's one of those, right, where you need to separate... Again, we keep saying this about Leicester, but it's true, where you need to separate them in the, like, bus formation when, like, you know, they're super deep and, like, Matto and Vardy are the only guys, like, far forward at all, and Matto's doing everything versus like in the better fixtures when Tielemans really gets a lot further forward and he gets in the box.
Yeah,
and
that's
stuff,
true.
You know?
So, no, that's a really good point. I didn't think of that. That's a really good point.
So I don't know. Maybe he could be okay. Under the radar guy.
Okay, all right.
Ashir on Slack. So Allaire has Sheffield and Newcastle both at home in the next two. West Ham have been kind of bad, and I'm not having a great time owning him. My question is, do I take him out for Jimmy? Well, you know how we feel about that already. Spoiler alert.
Definitely not.
Spoiler alert, we don't feel that. Or Vardy, who has Southampton and Palace away. The third option would be to do fuck all and give him another chance. What do you lads reckon?
Yeah, I mean, if you can get to Vardy without too much, you know, massive upheaval on your team, that's just a fucking no-brainer.
Yeah. Although the next two, man, fuck. I guess Vardy's better, full stop, but like...
Yeah, I mean, those are two buses that, I mean, granted, they'll be at home, but I don't have any confidence that they're going to, like, score a lot of goals in those games at all.
Yeah, me neither. His involvement is just super high. Usually when they score, it's usually through him. I still think he's, like, I don't know what it is about him. Maybe it's more West Ham than him, but, like, I don't know why, like, everyone in the world jumped on him, and then everyone in the world, like, immediately fucked him off and hates him. Like, I feel like he's, like, very hated in the FPL world. Like, he has 4 goals and an assist. Like, not bad. He has two.
It's like one and two.
Yeah, he has two really good fixtures coming up. He's only 7-4. He's not fucking 9 and, like, blanking or something. Like, I still think he's, like, pretty reasonable, to be honest. And, like, you know, is just going to tick 1 and 2 all season, basically.
Yeah. I think the West Ham performances are a big factor. Like, I don't think West Ham have looked good for a while.
They got bossed by Everton.
Yeah. Maybe, like, since the United game. I don't know. Yeah. No, whatever. I don't have anything to say about that. Good job by you.
Fat again on Slack. Quarter of the season in, what trends have you observed? What ones are ending and what ones could last the season? Wow. So
that's
deep.
That's too much. Bri. Come on, Bri. That's too much.
We don't
much
think
for us.
Like that.
No, come on, Bri.
I don't plan my meals. I'm not a keto maniac like you guys are. You know, I just eat what's next. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I have absolutely no answer.
What trends? Yeah, I don't fucking know. The trends are that, like, fucking fuck me. That's the trend. I don't know.
Yeah, trends are red arrows.
Trends are red arrows. Fuck me. I'm frustrated and annoyed with this game. D. Silva on Slack. Talk to me on Daniel Ings. 5-9, 3 goals in last 3. He's even 4-4 if you count the fucking cup. Ings.
Yeah. I mean, we kind of like briefly touched on him before, but I think it's just the fixtures. Like, home Leicester at City, you just want nothing to do with that.
Yeah. The other thing I was thinking about him is, like, I can't fully remember the Chelsea and Spurs goals, but they were like howlers, right? Yeah, the Spurs goal was Lloris one, and the Chelsea one I can't remember for some reason.
It doesn't matter, but he does
regardless
get those,
like, they're not like creating big chances in open play and like blah blah blah. he's just like literally getting these by just being like a high work rate maniac, and he's just getting these. And then it was again the same this week. It was just like a fucking mistake, and like he picks the ball off Cody and finishes, and it's a good job to finish, obviously, but like he's not doing the stuff where it's you feel confident in Southampton scoring goals and getting chances. And
But the difference is like he's always that guy, like harrying the goalkeeper, you know, or whatever. And he has a goal in three against Spurs, Chelsea, Wolves. Like those are not teams that you would expect Southampton to be able to create much against. So, you know, when the fixtures get brighter, like maybe they'll get their shit together a little bit more and not play like, you know, 5-3-2 or whatever he's up to back there or whatever. But I just feel like Ings is, you know, you give him a miss for the next two and then you reassess your life. But I think I own Ings every season. Like every season, it's I have one game where I'm like, yes, like 5-pointer, like yes. And then he's dead. And it's just like, fuck am I doing?
Yep.
You know, so that's a tough one.
Alan, we only have a few more questions here. Alan's like, best sub 6.8 striker to get now, or is Pukki still better than them all? Which is a great question because that's exactly what we talked about to start.
Yeah. I mean, other than Neil, I just see nothing. I mean, Wood, like whatever, like the fixture aren't that good. But yeah, other than Neil, I just don't really think that you're upgrading by doing that move, honestly. I was looking a little bit at Joelinton because their fixtures are pretty reasonable coming up. Oh my god, dude. Holy shit.
Joey Linton, Cassio, Apolinario, De Lira, you mean? Or the other Joey Linton?
Yeah, no, that one.
Oh, okay.
I mean, obviously Newcastle are all sorts, but I'm just talking FPL here, you know?
Yeah, I mean, I love him. We both love him and he looks good, but like, oh my god, Newcastle, dude.
No, I know, but I'm just saying, like, if that million like goes a long way elsewhere, is that like a big downgrade from Pukki, who has like kind of rough-ish fixtures? Like I don't know.
I still
maybe
think
not.
It is. I honestly do.
Okay. All right.
I don't know. Puffa on side. What to do with Kuhn? You just hold him with confidence, right?
I don't know about with confidence. I think you tenuously hold him, but
I mean, Pep basically said the only reason he didn't start is because he didn't play all international break and
got back late. Yeah, and he got back late from Argentina, like vacay.
And he got a fucking car crash, etc. Like he was just not ready to tit, and Jesus came in and scored and did the job. So
yeah, I mean, he also talked about, you know, Jesus. It does seem like it's becoming a more real thing where he likes the press away with Jesus over Kuhn. You know, he said as much that Jesus offers him something pressing that Kuhn does not do. But next to home Villa, home Southampton, you know, you got to keep Kuhn for those two and then probably immediately ship out before at Liverpool. So I would definitely spend transfers in a way to have that in mind.
Yep, I agree. TJC, do you think it's time to ship McGinn? And if so, who's the best around that price range within 0.5? Cho, Tielemans, or are there any other options to look at maybe on West Ham?
Yeah, I mean, I within 0.5 is very narrow. But yeah, I mean, I like Cho. I do like Wilf. I think Wilf could start coming in with some points soon.
I haven't thought about Wilf all year, man.
Yeah, no, I know. I mean, I always think about him. Obviously, he's on Palace. But I honestly have been just seeing good performances out of him. And, you know, it's tough when there's no one to pass to and the team's bad and we have bad fixtures. But he's looked good. Like, he's looked good. And I think he's got a brace in him coming up soon, even in these tough fixtures. I feel like the counter, like, he's looked good. So,
yeah, he had some good shots for City.
I do like Wolf.
One of my under-the-radar guys, I think, would be Grob. I mean, we were worried.
I'm nervous about Trossard back, though.
Yeah, maybe. But, like, he started most of the games even when Trossard was fit. And that was, like, I was almost starting the season with him, and then the rotation and shit was, like, kind of what put me off him. But, like, he's putting in massive performances. Like, this is his key passes. 5-3-2-3-6, like really good XA consistently as usual. He's a monster on bones as usual. We don't know if he's still on pens. He might be on pens. Yeah. He probably is on pens.
Yeah, I like that chat.
Just a little under the radar guy. I mean,
No, I like that shot a lot. Yeah, that's a good shot.
Thank you. Yeah. I appreciate that.
But I do like getting her. I mean, McGinn, the same thing is, you know, you watch their games and, I mean, he's a very, like, box-to-box player, but you don't like when your midfielder is picking the ball up off the center back, like, as an FPL asset. And right. he does that a lot, you know? Like, he's not just, like, up in the final third. And, yes, he's the on-runner for a lot of, you know, counterattacks or like, when they have sustained possession in the final third, but... At City, home, Liverpool, like, I think that's, like, I would rather transfer him out than, like, Pukki.
Yeah, probably.
Yeah.
And most of, like, he had good numbers this week, and Villa actually had a really good attacking performance, up a man, yeah, but, like...
Yeah, up a man.
Though. But what, like, you'd expect all of his shots against Liverpool and City to just be from, like, 30 yards, speculative shots, yeah. probably. I don't know.
If he gets any.
I still like him, to be honest. Like, his price, I still think he'll put in a good number of goals, especially for his
price.
Yeah,
but not with these fixtures.
But with these two fixtures, it's really rough.
I mean, and then they're at Wolves, home Newcastle, at United. Like, those are
Chelsea,
all...
Chelsea, home Leicester.
All of, yeah, like, all of those are horrible. Right. Like, I think that's, like, an urgent, urgent move out.
Yeah, that's fair. Last question, Fat Girl on Slack. How long until we look at Watford defense? Good fixtures coming up and easy to rotate out. And then SF, San Francisco Oyster Nerd, that's this guy's name on Twitter. Is it crazy to be considering Newcastle defense for the next four game weeks? So what about these shit-ass teams? Like, are they becoming rotatable?
We're definitely not spending any time talking about Watford, but I think Newcastle is definitely a good shout. Like, the fixtures are good for a while to like Crimbo, basically, and they're pretty cheap and they set up to bus. And I like that. I like the Newcastle shout a lot at defense. I think that they're a good rotating like option depending on what you need and what you're looking for. But, you know, I mean, they have like Lascelles' 4-4. Like, just give me a 4-4 option to rotate in for some of these games seems fantastic.
Yeah, that's fine. I think Watford are basically the same, though. I mean, like,
I absolutely could not disagree more.
Since Kike came in, they've basically just been a bust and been pretty tight, you know, outside of the City game, obviously.
Yeah, but they have actively awful players in their team. Like, their defenders are awful.
Yeah, I agree.
And they have a really bad goalkeeper. It's just bad. I think they're just awful.
I agree, but I think that they're rotatable still. I don't know.
To tell you the truth,
I don't want either. But I would put Newcastle above Watford, definitely.
No, like I would be happy to have a Newcastle defender, honestly. Like I would be totally fine with that. Like I wouldn't put like fucking any Watford defender in my team, home Norwich, ever. I would never want to start that player.
All right, fine with that. All right, that's it. Let's go on. So who are you looking at for cap this week? Captain, fucking nightmare of captaincy.
Yeah, who are we going to blank on captain again? I mean, I'm on...
I think we're both on Kevin, right?
Yeah, I'm on Kevin. Yeah,
I knew you were going to be on Kevin. I've been on Kevin. Seems easy. What are we supposed to do if he starts midweek? Are we supposed to not cap him? I don't know what to do.
If Kevin starts midweek and like Raz is on the bench, I don't know what I would do. I would maybe go with Raz, honestly.
Yeah.
I think that could be like a thing, but I might just cap vice cap like between the two of them. Like if they both start midweek, I don't know, dude.
If Zinchenko starts midweek,
cap.
And which
Mendy?
Maybe would mean that Mendy would start against Villa. I might go Raz over Kev.
Just because he'll be in. Yeah. Yep.
He
I
was
like
just
that, actually.
In the box all day.
Yeah. No, I like that.
But yeah, I mean, City is. It seems easy.
City home Villa is like, yeah. It's just then. You hate to captain the early Saturday game, though. Absolutely.
And you hate to captain a City player. I've gotten so fucked with them, dude.
Oh, my goodness. Oh, my goodness.
We need to figure out what we're going to do with Friday My Life, by the way, because there's a Friday match this week.
Yeah, we're just going to My Life Our Lives away.
Are we going to record like
maybe it's
going to
be a Thursday My Life. Thursday My Life?
Yeah, Thursday My Life, I think.
Yeah, we'll see. We'll see.
We'll announce that. Also, back of my mind, like if Arsenal and Tierney and Laka and shit look good today against Chef, like Palace just got fucking destroyed against City.
By the way, The Friday of My Life shout. What was our XG against? Was it like 4?
It was like 4.5 on Kaylee's thing.
See, I fucking told you, dude. That Spurs performance, this is our level.
You told me and I went Kev.
I'm reiterating.
Yeah.
Kev's still got more points than Tammy, so you're welcome, you fucking piece of shit.
Yeah, the clean sheet. I love captaining.
I'd love to get the clean sheet cap point. 2 cap point clean sheets.
Huge fucking puntos there. Do it, like I said, with how bad Spurs looked against Watford and how often they give away the ball. Are Mane and Mo good captain options next week? Or is captain pointless and nothing matters? I think it's obviously the latter.
Yeah. No, but I don't actually hate. If Mo is like actual fit, I don't hate capping either of them because Spurs could give up 3 easily.
Yep. And then what are you looking at for your team? So you said you spent like 40 minutes tinkering moves and shit like that with 2 frees. I also have 2 frees and I have no fucking idea what to do. So do you have any like, are you like leaning one way right now on transfers? Or should we just save this for Thursday My Life?
Yeah, no, I mean, I spent way more than 40 minutes like tinkering around and I have gotten nowhere.
Yeah.
It's not great. I really need the Champions League. Like, I need to see what happens. I really need Mo info. If Mo is like questionable, I'm probably going to move him out.
Right. If
he's on the bench, I'll keep him. If he's not on the bench and gank, and it's still like, I don't know, like I'm Klopp, like look at my glasses, then I'm going to probably bomb him out and try and like spread the wealth.
And you wouldn't consider Mane?
No, because I think there's so much worse without Mo. Like, Mane was fucking awful last game. Like, they just don't create anything, and they're playing down one flank, and they're just bad. So I'd rather go, like, you know, Vardy or Obbs and Matto and Cho or Zaha, like all these fun friends, like things like that. Yeah. So I also haven't ruled out a hit this week as much as we were talking about how bad
same.
Hits are. But.
I mean, like...
If I remove Mo, like that part of the advantage is like being able to do a triple swap and upgrading like 2 other bad players into like really good players. So might do that.
I mean, it feels a bit different when you're taking 3 transfers for 4 points than just 2. Yeah. I don't know if that's actually like good and reasonable or if it just feels better because I don't know, extra transfers always feel better, but like. Yeah, hits are probably still bad, and we probably both shouldn't take a hit. But yeah, I'm also considering one. I mean, like, I have the gun nightmare. I was thinking about going, like, 3-5-2, like, Pookie down to Connolly, Hayden to basically any mid in the game, and Gun to basically any keeper in the game. So that's what I was just
thinking. What about getting Allison in?
What?
Allison. What about Allison?
Yeah, I was definitely looking at him. I mean, he's only 5'8 now.
Another thing, too, with Cantwell is that Oriol Hernandez or whatever subbed on late, like, he could take his place.
I feel like Todd's secure. I don't know.
I'm just saying, like, that's something to monitor.
Yeah. I mean, I still have Todd, and he's still, like, a starter for me. So, things feel a bit problematic right now.
Well, Lundy can come in for the next couple, so.
Yeah. I mean, I could also just go double Norwich out and Gun out and, like, figure that out. I don't know. Not unreasonable.
It doesn't feel good taking a hit when you're spending it on goalkeeper, fifth mid, and third striker, though.
Well, it's my fourth mid, though. That's what I mean by he's a starter, because I have Hayden.
Yeah, but you have Lund.
But my defense is its own fucking, like... Like
a little micro universe.
Rube Goldberg machine of fucking like rotation and sometimes points.
Yeah, it's a huge Rube Goldberg for sure.
Yeah, so I don't know.
All right, so yeah. I mean, we need Champions League.
We need Champions League.
Friday My Life, big time chat.
Thursday My Life. Let me do the anus slaps. Only the one... No, that's... I don't know why this is even in there. Never mind. There's a bunch of anus slaps. Thanks for everyone who also bumped up their tier to get in on those Friday/Thursday My Life episodes and all that shit. But the new signups, James Aldridge, Matt Jacobs, Damian Gracie, Dinesh VD, John Simmons, and Jamie, no last name. Cheers to you guys. Slap that fucking ass. I think that's it, bro. I have to kind of get out of here, actually.
Yeah, I think this is a good sesh.
Did I make my, like, was I rusty? Did I, like, feel bad to you? You know, awful
week? Why are you fishing for compliments, bro?
Because I'm down, dude. You know?
My God.
I'm just down.
You think we're on, like, pod number 400? Because I'm not, I don't enjoy your company in our pod sessions.
Bro.
Oh, bro.
Hug it out, bitch. Love it. All right. Any last words?
No, let's get out.
Check us out at fmlfield.com. Follow on Twitter at fmlfield. Support us at patreon.com/fmlfield. Subscribe, rate, review. Cheers.